The West Bromwich Albion football team was one of the first British teams to visit China when China began to open its doors again to visitors from overseas. And when they got to the Great Wall of China that we've just been seeing on our television screens recently with the Queen's visit, when they got there, one of the players was heard to remark, "When you've seen one wall, you've seen them all." And I just wonder what he would have made of these 12 stones from Joshua chapter 4. 12 stones dragged out of the Jordan, put down on the side of the Jordan at Gilgal. His reaction might have been, well, why on earth bother? Why bother to drag these stones out and just leave them there? What was the purpose behind those 12 stones? Let's first of all get this event clear in our minds as we look at Joshua chapter 4. Because the event is a little confusing. We can't be sure whether there were two piles of stones, one in the river where the priest stood. If you look at verse 9, it says, "Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and one at the camp," in verse 20, "and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal." Similarly, it's difficult to know whether the whole event happened after they'd crossed the Jordan, as would appear in verse 1, when the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, or whether it happened earlier, as in verse 8. "The men of Israel did as Joshua commanded, took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes." And then looking down to the end of verse 10, "The people passed over in haste, and when all the people had finished passing over, the Ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people." It is actually difficult to piece this story together, to find out what happened and in what order. And we could spend a lot of time this morning, and I could bore the pants off you trying to do it. I'm not going to do that, because we can say with certainty certain things from this passage. God had called Joshua, the leader of his people, to cross over the Jordan into the land that God had promised to his people. That crossing was, as we were looking last week, achieved in a miraculous way, similar to the crossing of the Red Sea. And the result of that was that Joshua was required by God to erect a monument built with stones from the Jordan at the place where they spent their first night in the Promised Land, the place called Gilgal. That's the event, a miraculous crossing, a stone memorial. But what is the purpose? What is the purpose of those 12 stones? I want to suggest that there is one single purpose. One single purpose. To provide a memorial, a witness to a mighty act of God. That Joshua was to place those stones there to say, this is what God has done. And that's stated twice in our passage. It's there in verses 6 and 7. "That this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you?" That's exactly what I've just been asking. What do these stones mean? "Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." And then on to verse 21 through to 24. "And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." They were to remember. They were to know what God had done in the past. It was an act of witness. And in that way, it bears comparison with chapter 5 and verse 2, where it says, "At that time the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives and circumcise the people of Israel,' a means of remembering the initial covenant made with Abraham." And with verse 10 of chapter 5, "When the people of Israel were encamped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover, a way of remembering the great deliverance out of Egypt when God's angel of death passed over the land of Egypt and eventually Pharaoh said, 'Go out.'" And what we're seeing is that the faith of the Jewish people, upon which our faith is based, is a historical faith. It's not an abstract faith built upon philosophies, built upon thinking of the mind. It's a faith built upon what God has done amongst his people. Facts recorded in history, facts attested to by signs and memorials, permanent, tangible reminders. "In order that you may fear the Lord your God forever." The signs were a means of helping the people regularly to focus upon God and upon his nature and upon what he can do. And so in that way, the stones were in a sense unimportant. It didn't matter whether they were the best stones. It didn't matter what size they were. It didn't matter whether they were covered in moss. What was important was that they spoke of God and his relationship with his people. Up and down our land, we have stone memorials. Memorials to those who gave their lives in two wars. Now, the memorials are not there so that we don't forget that between 1914 and 1918 and 1935 and 1945, two wars took place. That's enshrined in our history. Rather, they're there as a permanent witness to courage and futility. The courage of men and women in war, the futility of war. We don't so much need reminding as we need a regular focus of the deeper significance of those memorials. And so it was with these stones, so it was with circumcision, so it was with the Feast of the Passover. It wasn't that the people needed reminding that these events had happened. They needed a regular focus of the deeper significance of the nature of God who makes covenants with his people. The nature of the God who'd brought them out of slavery. The nature of God who delivered them into a new land with all that that meant for them in freedom and unity. The stones were there as a memorial, as a witness for all time. But I think memorials can have one of two effects upon people. They can either bind people to the past, or they can act as an encouragement into the future. Our faith, based upon the faith of the Jewish people, is a historic faith, traced from Abraham and that historic covenant, through Moses, the Exodus, the giving of the law, through Joshua and this entry into the promised land, the kings, the prophets, the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. And as we focus upon these historic facts, we look forward to another event at the end of time when Jesus Christ will come again. But one of the problems of looking backwards and remembering events is that we can become tied to them. We can become ritualistic, whereby the whole of our attention is given to the remembrance of the event rather than the focus of its deeper significance leading us on into new paths, new avenues, new steps forward with our God. I think that was the danger for Joshua and his people. A tremendous event. They'd come across the Jordan without getting their feet wet. They set up their stones in the middle of their camp at Gilgal in the Jordan Valley. Very nice. A very pleasant and green valley. Why not stay there? Why not live, as it were, in the shadow of the stones, drinking in this marvellous event and get round to moving eventually? Now, if that had become established in their minds, they would have just stayed and they would have remained in that valley. And in a sense, That is something that has happened in a way in the minds of the Jewish people. They become a people in a sense of history, tending to look back to the past events. Yes, in a sense also looking forward to a coming Messiah, but their whole thinking revolving around what God has done in the past. And that can also happen to Christians. We can look back to past events and focus upon what God has done in the past rather than looking to what God is going to do in the future. This is what Richard was talking about when we looked at Joshua chapter 1, talking about golden days of the church and saying, ah, it was wonderful then. And just paying lip service to what God is trying to do in the present and wanting to do in the future. Memory can become a millstone holding us back in past events. Yes, memory is important. It is good to have memorials, things that witness to the mighty power of God, what God has done in the past. It is good to learn from those events, but we do so in order that we press on into the future. When Joshua saw those stones erected in Gilgal, ahead of him lay Jericho, that great battle. Ai, another great battle. Battle with the five kings. The conquest of the whole of the promised land. Tremendous things lay ahead of him. And as they went out to Jericho, and as they came back, they saw the stones in the middle of the camp. And so as they went out with confidence. Remember what God has done. As we go out, God can do the same. As they came back rejoicing, yes, here is another marvelous thing that God has done for them. You see, the stones were not millstones holding them there in Gilgal. They were stepping stones, taking them on to Jericho, to Ai, and into further acts of conquest. I'm sure you're aware of crossing a river by stepping stones. Each stepping stone provides a base, a firm base for going one step forward. But nobody would ever want to stay on a little stone in the middle of a river. The stone is only useful if it helps to encourage us forward, if it gives us the confidence to step onto the next stone. The memorials, one of which we're thinking about here, are only a help if they lead us forward further in steps with God. The stones here bore witness to the fact of what God had done. And on that security, Joshua and his people stepped forward into the equally difficult tasks of the conquest of Jericho and the land. So for them, the stone was not just saying, this is what God has done, but this is what God can do and what God will do in the future. And they were going to lose out if they simply stopped there. Paul in Philippians 3 verse 13 puts it a slightly different way when he says this: forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now Paul can never be accused of forgetting the past. He's not saying that. But what he's saying is, I'm not anchored to the past. I'm not stuck in the past. I'm not satisfied with what God has done. I want to go on from what God has done to see what God is going to do in the present and the future. Tonight we're going to have our family communion service here in church, a time of remembrance, remembering the historic sacrifice of Jesus Christ once for all, whereby we can know forgiveness of sins and new life. But it's not just a backward-looking memorial, because the final words in that service that we say are "send us out," and the final words that are addressed to us are "go in peace to love and serve." The service itself is a springboard, a stepping stone, focusing upon what God has done, encouraging us into what God is going to do in the present, so that we go forward renewed with confidence, courage, and determination. When I first arrived at my theological college, I had an initial interview with the principal And all of us in the new intake had this interview. And to each one of us, he gave a different verse to be with us as we went through our training. The verse he gave to me was 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And I've found that verse a tremendous help and encouragement as I've focused upon it, not just in my training, but ever since. Because it's helped me to focus upon the facts of what God has done in my Christian life. The fact of my coming to the Lord at a certain point in my history. The fact of my call into the ministry. The fact of my commission into the ministry. And all the way along, whenever I've had moments of doubt and uncertainty, what I've done is, by that verse, gone back to the facts. It is God who has set me apart to be his own. It is God who has called me into this realm of service. And so I've been able to use that verse, again, as a reminder, a stepping stone to go forward. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. God has done this in the past. He's not going to desert me in the present. Rather, I can step forward with him. What God has done in the past is there to encourage us in the future. I wonder, how do you view your past? What memorials have you got in your own personal life? Perhaps you can remember the day that you became a Christian, the day you first put your trust in Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's clearly etched in your mind. But have you grown? Have you gone on since then? Or, as it were, have you just flopped down the other side of the Jordan, content to become a Christian, but with no great desire to go on and to grow? Or perhaps you've had some marvelous experience of God in the past, and you're still talking about it, even though it may have been many years ago, and you're still living in the glow of it. That memorial is there to encourage you further into more and more experiences as day by day we step forward hand in hand with the living God. Or perhaps for some, this morning is going to be a memorial that you'll look back upon in days to come. Perhaps for Monica, as she looks back upon that commissioning service that we've just had here in church. A memorial. A fact of God being involved in her life that is going to act as a stepping stone. Perhaps for you, this morning, it's a matter of coming to faith for the first time. And you'll look back upon this morning as a day when God moved in a new way. Or when you offer God a new area of your life for commitment, a new determination for service. A memorial, a time of being aware of God involved with our lives. Not that we hang on to it, not that we stay there, but so that we go further on with God, step by step. And the same is true for us as a church family. We don't live in the past. We're not content with what God has done in the past. Yes, there are many who have come through these doors in past years and found Jesus Christ for themselves. There are many who have been sent out from this church to be agents all the way around the world. There was that great building project that ended in 1976, but that cannot be the end of the story. We cannot stop with those memorials to what God has done in the past. There are thousands in our capital city longing to hear of Jesus Christ. There are many more in this congregation that God is calling to be his agents, both in this country and overseas. There is a new building project afoot for us to be involved in. Our God is a God who acts in history. And because of that, memorials become important, reminding us of what God has done. But they are important not to hold us in the past, not so we become a little enclave, focusing around the past history, stuck in rituals and liturgies and in past memories. They're not to be millstones. They're to be stepping stones, helping us forward into the next phase of what God is going to do in our lives as individuals and our lives as a church. Joshua found that as he stepped forward from that great act with God, there were even greater things that God was going to do. and Joshua and the people benefited, spiritually and physically indeed, by that. God is calling us as individuals and as a church to step forward with him, based on the firm security of what God has done in the past. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this historic record of what you did with your people under Joshua. Thank you, Father, for opening it to us this morning. We thank you then, Father, for memorials that we have as individuals and as a church of ways in which you've acted in our lives. We praise you, Father, that one another of us can testify that you are a God of the present. You are a God who is active in this world now. But we pray, Father, that ever we might be open to what you are going to do in the future, that our attention may be focused upon you and you active here and now and in the week that comes. And so, Father, we pray that we may go out into this new week encouraged, strengthened, and uplifted by the assurance of your presence with us in Christ our Lord. Amen.